This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 7th, 2019, the third Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything that we do, everything that we say, our lives as Catholics should be centered upon our Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is an imperative for us because it is the only way we get into heaven is through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way. Our Lord Jesus Christ, from His own mouth, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, you will read all kind of commentaries on why Jesus really didn't mean what He said, but I'm a simple guy. I'll just let Jesus speak, and I'll just leave it at that. We should all be simple and approach our Lord Jesus Christ as children and listen to what our Father says. And that is the only way you get into heaven is through Christ and Him crucified. This is why St. Paul says what he says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in that second reading today. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Newer version, God forbid that I should boast in anything. Everything else is trash compared to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our life should be centered upon. When we understand this, if you take it to heart, if you truly embrace it, you cannot help but to live a life. When you think of God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, sending His only begotten Son to die. I always point out, it's usually around Easter time when we're talking about the Passion. I said, we can't even fathom. We can't think of a scenario in this life when we would sacrifice one of our children for this, that, or the other thing. It doesn't matter how much you love someone. Oh, you love that person over there. You'll let your child die for it. No, I don't love them that much. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God who is sent to die for our sins. If we even scratch the surface of human understanding about what has been done for us, that is our exclusive message. I said on Trinity Sunday, when I handed out the newly formulated, which is not new at all, it's just what the Church has always taught, this document of truths of the Catholic faith. One of those truths is Catholic ecumenism is this, telling non-Catholics that they need to be Catholics. That's Protestants, that is unbelievers, that is Jews, that is Muslims, all of them. If you're not Catholic, you must become. That is a dogma of Catholic Church. That is what our Church has always taught. This is what we must believe. This is what we must act like. We must present this to other people because it is our only thing in which we can joy. It's not we don't take joy in other things in this world, but the bottom line is our primary joy, the thing that makes us rejoice, and this is not triumphalism. This is not, hey, we're Catholics and you're not. Look at us, we got it going on. That's not it at all. That is not it at all. We should appreciate so much what God has done to us, for us, through the death and resurrection of His Son, that we should love it so much and rejoice in it so much that we say, we are Catholics, you need to be one also. You need to embrace our Lord Jesus Christ in all His fullness in the Catholic Church, if that's where He is. Protestants deny that He is really present, objectively, body, blood, soul, and divinity within the Catholic Church. They deny it out of hand. We're the only ones that claim that. We have to appreciate that. That is truly, truly something in which we can boast in a holy sense. We can brag about that. We can be proud of that because it's not anything innate within us. It's being proud of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And anything less is a denigration. Anything less is a denigration of our Lord Jesus Christ. To hear this convoluted, at best, message that we hear so often, in their good conscience, they're trying to seek the Lord. And, you know, there are many doorways. No, there are not. No, there are not many doorways to heaven. There is one, and that is through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many I's you dot and T's you cross about law keeping. If your law keeping is disassociated with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. It doesn't matter how pretty you make things look. Oh, let's all line up and all put our faces on the ground at one time, five times a day. If Jesus Christ and the cross are not there, it is for nothing. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ says. That's what St. Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't mean the symbol of the cross. He's talking about Christ crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His shedding His blood for us. You know, I said before, we can't get our heads around the fact that we would ever sacrifice one of our children for anything, anyone, any group. No, it just could not happen. It wouldn't happen. God did it for us, but can you imagine if a person in this world could hypothetically do it? I am going to sacrifice my only child for you. And you did it. You let someone kill that child. And then that person looked at you and said, whatever. That is all those who deny the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever. We would rend asunder someone like that in this world that wouldn't appreciate that gift. But so many, even in our own churches, oh yeah, you know, for us it's Jesus, but for them it's not, and for them it's not, but they may be okay. No, they're not. There is no such thing as an anonymous Christian. Your good motives are meaningless. Circumcision and uncircumcision availeth nothing. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says, I should boast in nothing but the cross, it could be equally said, I boast in nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Like I said, he's not talking about the symbol of the cross, albeit the symbol is tremendously powerful because of the substance of the sacrifice of our Lord. But it is through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what separates us from them. And I mean them, I mean everybody that's not a Christian, everybody who doesn't embrace the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because St. Paul tells us, not only here, but in another, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that it doesn't matter about anything, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything but a new creation, a new creature. The only way we become new creatures, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation in Christ. That's what makes us a new creation. If you have not been baptized into Christ and Him crucified, you are not a new creation. There is an us and them. Us and them, but we want to make them us. That's what our Lord's talking about in the gospel. I send you out. I send you out two by two. Prepare them for this message of the cross. Prepare them for this message because you are new creatures. We want them to be new creatures also. Spread this message of new creation in Christ Jesus. The cross is what separates us from them. St. John Chrysostom says the cross is reprehensible to unbelievers and to the world. When they see the cross, it's whatever. It's meaningless. The Pharisees, very religious people. The Pharisees look at our Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. They wag their heads because for them, it's nothing. He's just one of three criminals hanging on a cross, dying in a most humiliating criminal way. And they wag their heads. Saved others, can't save himself. They wag their heads at it. For us, it is the power of God unto our salvation. This is what we have to understand about our faith. This is where we need to ground the way we live our lives, because we are different from them. It's not reprehensible to us. It is the power of our salvation. It is the only way to salvation. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm this because my grandma and grandpa were, and you know, I'm sure God will be good with that. No, he's not. He's not good with things like that. Who's writing this? Saint Paul. Before he was Saint Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was hyper-Jew. Saul of Tarsus, he knew more about the scriptures than probably all of us combined. He had them memorized. He lived the scriptures. He knew all about law-keeping. He knew God, because all that he did was consumed by his belief in God, his traditions of his family, and an ethnic people group. If what we hear so often, well, they're okay because they're children of Abraham. Jesus would have left him alone. But he didn't. He took this hyper-religious man and knocked him to the ground, and he made him blind and said, "Who are you? I am Jesus whom you persecute." Jesus wasn't good with Saul being hyper-religious. You need to focus on me, Saul. You are a new creation. I'll change your name. That's how different you are, Paul. This is the reality of our faith. It sounds all warm and fuzzy and all nice to say, these people, they believe this, they believe that. God's not good with it. He's not okay with it. Saul of Tarsus, he's not okay. Our Lord on the cross, it is finished. Salvation is that this is what gets you. This is finished. There's not going to be a New Testament of Jesus Christ from South America. There's not going to be a new prophet who comes and gives you another book that tells you that the old book was corrupted. All of those things are false teachings. Jesus Christ says, it is finished. St. Paul himself says at the end of this letter to the Galatians, what is the letter to the Galatians? The letter to the Galatians is St. Paul judging, go figure, as he says in 2 Corinthians, we are supposed to judge the brethren. They are found lacking, and he sends them a very direct letter about their shortcomings. In a nutshell, St. Paul writes them a letter that says, you are lazy Christians, and you have to know the seriousness of your situation, Galatians. Why? The Galatians had heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified. And Paul leaves, and what happens? Other people come in, oh no, you got to do this. Oh no, here's the new message. Oh no, you got to get back to the old things and do circumcision and adhere to dietary rules and all this kind of Judaizing. St. Paul calls them to task on that. He calls them to task. You're lazy. You've done what other people have told you. You're not following the gospel, and you are in a very precarious situation with God. What is our message that we hear so often today? Oh, no, God's okay with it. You know, they're just trying to live a good life the best they know. It is meaningless if it doesn't lead to eternal salvation. This is St. Augustine. St. Augustine said, I live a good life. No, you don't. It doesn't matter what you're doing that you think is good, but something is good if the ends of that life are good. And the only good end is eternal salvation. And the only eternal salvation is to be wrought in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So it doesn't matter what good you do. If you don't embrace Jesus Christ, it is for naught. It doesn't matter how good you think it is. I said before, and this is emphasized, if you read the scriptures in their entirety, it's important to understand that God is not good. He's not good with things that go outside of His divine will. And His divine will is salvation through Jesus Christ and Him. From Genesis, I will put enmity between your seed and His seed. He will crush your head. You will bruise His heel. But you have to understand that it is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. From Genesis, that's the message. Every Old Testament prophecy, every Old Testament animal sacrifice pointed forward to our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's not good with it if you look anywhere else. That first reading today, I love that reading from Isaiah 66. I love that reading because it's nice. It talks about the joy that we should have in God. But the only reason you have that joy is through Christ and Him crucified. And God is not good, and as joyful as it may have sounded in the reading today where it stopped, it's interesting. I looked at the lectionary today. I'm like, darn, it's this and that, joyful, 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 period. If you read the scriptures, there's not a period there. The sentence doesn't even end. How does the sentence end after joyful, 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 joyful? Comma, and He will be angry with His enemies. Oh, what a bummer that is. Unfortunately, that's God's truth. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. For behold, the Lord will come with fire to render His wrath and indignation and His rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord shall judge with fire and by His sword unto all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many. Doesn't really fill your pews on a Sunday morning. But thus saith the Lord. God's not okay when people don't embrace, because all this talk about joy is what faithful people embrace. It is the result of their faith. But if they don't embrace the plan of God, that's the consequence. That's just Old Testament Isaiah stuff. He's all into that fire and brimstone-y thing. If there weren't three verses left out of the gospel reading today, whether you read the short form or the long form, three verses that are left out, Jesus Christ, who sent these evangelists out into these cities, He says, if they don't hear your word, knock the dust off your sandals and go to the next place. And He doesn't leave it at that. He looks at those cities who have rejected the message of the cross of Christ, the preparatory message of the cross of Christ, and He says, you city and you city and you city, woe to you. Woe to you. And He actually points out one city, Capernaum. Capernaum is where Jesus lived when He wasn't living in Nazareth. He lived in Capernaum. We don't know of any other city that heard more preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ or saw more miracles than Capernaum. Well, man, He must really like them. Yes, He really did. And He did a lot of glorious things there to ensure that they understood who He was. And they turned their back on His message. And He says, Capernaum, again, His home, away from home. Capernaum, it will be better for Sodom in the day of judgment than you. You were exalted because you've seen all these things. You were exalted, but you will be cast down into hell. This is Jesus Christ speaking this. God's not good when you are not attentive to what he did for you through his son, and that is the sacrifice of his son. Woe to you. And then there's this interjection. And a lot of you do go home and read the scriptures, particularly those places I say, hey, read those verses that they left out. When you look at that scripture, there's this interjection of our Lord. He's talking to the evangelists who are glorying in the authority that they've been given. Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Our Lord looks at them and says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. What's that got to do with anything? We're talking about evangelism. You know, we're talking about us having authority over demons. What's that? What's Satan got to do with anything? What does it have to do with anything? They're kind of puffed up because they have the authority of Jesus Christ. Don't take it for granted. Don't be presumptuous, because I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about Satan. Of course he should be kicked out of heaven. He wasn't before he got kicked out of heaven. He was Lucifer, the most perfect spirit being that had ever been created. He was this far under God. He was so close to being like God that he saw that it would, hey, I might be able to rebel against him. This is how close I am to him. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, this perfect being in his angelic perfections, his pure spiritual perfect knowledge of things, just this far under God, he rebelled and he got kicked out of heaven immediately like lightning. He couldn't take it for granted. He couldn't be presumptuous in the fact that I'm Lucifer, the day star, the pinnacle of creation spiritually. As soon as he rebelled, God kicked him out of heaven immediately. How much more for us to, why could we ever think that we should take for granted or presume on our faith? In that first reading today, if you read on in Isaiah chapter 66, it actually says that those who are sanctified, who are truly holy, who set themselves apart by ritual, this and that, they were sanctified, but they thought themselves clean. They had been set apart. They were ritually clean, but they thought themselves to be clean. They were taken for granted. They were presumptuous. And they're the recipients of this fire of which he speaks. It didn't matter. Oh, I'm baptized. I'm good to go. No, you're not. You're not good to go until you breathe your last. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as you hit the judgment seat, said, well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from all eternity. That is when you know everything's okay. And you should live your life like that. You should live your life embracing an understanding. Everything is incumbent. Everything, all the joys that you have are incumbent on this one Jesus Christ and him crucified. We have a tremendous amount of stuff with which to rejoice. But don't take it for granted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.